that's on cocaine. Through break and change, oh, that marriage that's on the verge of breaking up. Although sometimes, come on, son, you have to walk, yeah, all alone. Now, you might ask yourself, is there a word from the Lord you need? God is controlling and he's working it out for you. Somebody need to know this before you leave this conviction. No peace in your home. You can't find no peace on your job. Your bills are due, yes, and your health is failing too, yes, yes. But God is concerned, and he's working it out. Let me tell these over here, somebody need to hear this message tonight. Oh, let God work it out. Well, everybody, come on, help me to sing. He's working out. You don't have
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I've
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, get your Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of hearing your word.
Yes, thank you.
Speaking to our hearts and challenging us where we are to rise to the level and place you'd have us to be. We pray that the Holy Ghost will touch us, walk through the text and teach us. Give you glory, give us the goods. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. I am summoned back to Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. And it says, call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. You may be seated in God's presence. Call upon me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Just a little while, I want you to help me and turn to your neighbor and say to your neighbor, neighbor, God is waiting on your call. God is waiting on your call. Now this word, my brothers and sisters, as we see it, Scripture gives many encouragements to pray from the Old Testament all the way through the New Testament. Men are repeatedly encouraged to pray. And may I say, if we ever needed to pray, we sure need to pray now. The old saints used to say, if we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need him now, right now. And so this is an encouragement to pray. This is an encouragement for believers to especially adhere to this word that is before us. There are just two focuses in this text that I want you to give view to. First is the responsibility of man. Because the text says, call upon me. And this is important for us to recognize the responsibility, the requirement of man, if you will. It's important to know your role. It's important to know what God expects of you. It's important to understand, though he knows all things, he brings you into a participatory place whereby if you do not meet the requirement, you cannot expect God to do his part. The Bible says that men ought always to pray and not faint. Well, do you know if you're praying more than complaining, you have more in expectation to look forward to.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
If you would pray more than mock, criticize, put down, backstab, talk about, if you would pray more than be critical, you will discover that prayer changes things. And I discovered that we'd much rather talk about folk than pray for folk. I've discovered we'd much rather have our own feelings about a situation rather than God straighten out our feelings about a situation. I've discovered we'd much rather deal in the flesh rather than deal in the spirit, because listen to this, you can't pray and complain at the same time. You can't pray and miss God by trying to fulfill the desires of the flesh at the same time. You can't pray and honestly call upon God and expect the answer to come from the world. You've got to realize that Jeremiah says that God has ushered a command. It's a requirement for people who want anything from God to know that they have to initiate the call. And that's why I want you to know this morning, God is waiting on your call. You want some things to change in your life? My question to you is, have you called him? You've got some requests that you want to make known, but you're thinking them and you are hoping and you're wishing, but have you picked up your spiritual phone and called the Lord? The old saints might not have had a whole lot of theological training, no whole lot of seminary experience, but they used to say, Jesus is on the main line.
Yeah, yeah.
Call him up and tell him what you want. Listen at this now, because when we look at this word, my brothers and sisters, when we see the requirement of man, call upon me. It is a command to pray. Say, command to pray. He says in the scripture, call upon, it's not a suggestive command. It is a serious command. Call upon me. Listen, somebody, I want to talk to you. Call me. Call me. See, there are just some things that God wants to hear you say to him that will activate his part in creating the answer to your situation. God wants to know that you're reaching out, reaching up to him who knows all things and has all power in his hand to do all things. And so when you begin to look at this and realize this, again, we are commanded to call him up. Amen. Think about this. The next time you feel like talking negatively, complaining about something or someone, next time you don't like your situation, why don't you try calling him up? Because I noticed something else too. It's one thing to think it to yourself. It's another thing to tell it to God. Somebody didn't get that. I say, it's one thing to think stuff to yourself. It's another thing to tell it to God. Have you ever thought some stuff in your own mind and you just knew you were on point till you started telling somebody and then you found out how crazy it really sounded? Matter of fact, you started, but that's all right. I'm not going to even finish that. Because you really become convicted in your own self after you start releasing it. You see, one of the things that you need to know that Jeremiah makes clear to us is that God requires us to tell him. Look, Matthew says, 6th chapter, God already knows. Your heavenly Father already knows what you have need of. All right, so some wise person is sitting there. Well, if he already knows what I need, why then do I have to call him? Yeah. Well, he might know what you have need of, but he figures you don't want it till you ask for it. Y'all gonna catch that when you wake up. You got a lot of stuff that's available to you, but it doesn't mean you want it because it's available to you. But when you want it, you open your mouth and you ask for it. And God is making clear, listen, if you really want it, you're going to let me know about it. But it's also so that you will be, listen, in fellowship and communication as well as communion with him. See, nowadays, we've become so technologically advanced, we have, and I do believe from the bottom of my heart that this is true, that one of the ways the enemy is breaking down communication and tearing down our ability to be forthright and truthful and heart to heart is through technological means. You know, that was a time when we really wanted to talk to folk. We sat there and talked eye to eye, face to face to folk. Now, I want to talk to you. This is serious. But call, no. This ain't no telephone talk. Well, now it's not just telephone, but it's email and texting. Email and texting. Listen, you know, they showed on commercial one time, whole family sitting around the dinner table. They ain't talking to one another, my man. They all got their little texting thing, just texting one another. Pass the peas. Is this really what communication is breaking down to? Mama texted to the daughter, come out of your room. Come downstairs. Let the rest of the family see you. No, mom and them didn't have those technological means, but even when they were available to them, they wouldn't text you, they call your name. Listen, and if you didn't come immediately, they would call your whole name. And when they call your whole name, they wasn't going to explain what they wanted. They expected you to show up. See, if they had to say, if I call you one more time, somebody ought to hear me in the house.
It wasn't going to be nice for somebody. But think of how the enemy is breaking down communication. You might think that's all no big deal. But if we learn how to miscommunicate with others, it's a sure sign that we also are preparing, if not entering into the miscommunicating with our Father. If you become so great and proficient at texting and emailing and you don't even talk no more, open your mouth no more, communicate, articulate no more, it's all now texting and emailing and speaking at best on the phone, then you're losing that ability to communicate earnestly, honestly, and truly effectively. Listen, what you think is one thing, what you talk is another thing. That's why it's important for you to recognize God wants you to talk to. He knows what you have need of. But when you say it, it requires more effort on your part. It requires you to recognize what your rights are. Because when you go to God, you've got to believe that He is a rewarder of them that seek Him. And see, who not just seek Him just to be able to say, I can, but who diligently seeks Him, He is a reward. He's going to do what He said He's going to do.
Yes, He will.
But God wants to hear you say, Father, You said in Your word. What did I say? And when you tell Him, when you articulate to them, listen, God gets excited about His own word.
Yes, He does.
Because there's no other authority higher than His word. And when you know His word, because He knows His word, then He is obligated by His word to do His word. And He's not a man that He should lie. So when you know His word, then you've got Him where He wants you to have Him. It's the requirement of man to call on God. Why is my situation like it is? Because I didn't call God to come in it. I didn't tell God all about it. I didn't ask God to fix it. I didn't ask God to fix me. I didn't ask God what was His directive. I didn't ask God His permission. I didn't ask God His forgiveness. I didn't ask God. I didn't call God up and tell Him what I wanted. And so now where I am and what I'm going through is a byproduct of the fact that I did not make the call. How many of you will honestly say with me today, Brother Pastor, I've messed up greatly in my life because I didn't call the Lord up first before I made this decision. Listen, just because you got money to buy a certain thing don't mean you ought to buy it without asking God about it. Because you could be buying a lemon, a raw deal, a messed up situation, whatever. But if you talk to the Lord about it, He'll tell you. It's all in the text. Now listen, the requirement of man is to call. But I want you also to see the response of God. Look at what the text says, because it's right here. It says, as we see this and understand this, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. This is why this word doesn't get old to me. Because what I know now takes care of what I didn't know then. But there are some things I need to know that I don't know that talking to God will take care of. In other words, my mind continues to grow. My ability to experience God continues to grow. There are things that God wants to show, reveal, unfold, disclose to me, continues to grow. I can't think I know it all. I've experienced it all. I've seen it all. I've heard it all. That's what the devil wants you to believe. You need to know God has never shown it all to you. Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. Right now, we know in part. Right now, we don't know it all at this moment. Listen, one of the reasons why is because if we knew it all, we probably couldn't handle it all. So God gives us information and inspiration that's appropriate to our ability to handle it.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
If the Lord knows you can't handle a certain level right now, he won't give it to you.
Amen.
Listen, he has bound himself by his own word. Listen, not to put more on you that's good or bad. That's, in other words, that's experiments and situations that the enemy may want to put on you. That's bad. God limits what the devil can put on you. But then by good, he limits what he gives you, because if he gives you too much more than you can handle, he knows you'll squander it. He knows you'll blow it. He knows you might mess up and leave him because you're so in love with your stuff. See, sometimes, don't get it twisted, you can fall in love more with the giver for the gifts than you fall in love with the giver for himself. God is no fool. History shows that. History shows us that many have loved God for what he could do, but not for who he was or is. And so, giving you too much sometimes. Parents have seen that problem in their own lives with their own children.
That's right.
There are some parents who, well, I don't want my child to be like I was. I don't want them to want for anything. Foolish. You worked hard. You educated yourself. You did what was necessary because you didn't have everything. And even if your parents could give you everything, they knew that wasn't the best thing to do. So you've got to learn how to teach your child responsibility. Teach your child how to do what is necessary, the right way to get what is right for him, to teach him to educate themselves, to teach them to learn how to operate in the affairs of man according to the word of God, and watch God bless him with the wisdom of God as he ought to when he's doing what he's been instructed to do. Train up a child in the way that he should go. When he grows older, he will not depart from that. But when you grow up, you rear a child and he grows up with hand-me-outs, everything being done for him, don't know how to do anything for themselves. Do you know how messed up you would be if you don't teach your children? Most of the real men who are here now, who had mothers and fathers in years past and gone, could do anything in the house mama could do. Anything around the house daddy could do. Listen, he wasn't dependent on nobody. I don't want to be in a place, and I thank God that I had a grandmother and a mother who taught me how to cook. I don't want to be in a place where I can't eat unless somebody cook for me. I want to enjoy good cooking, but I don't want it to be at the price of me not being able to cook. What about if I want to cook and make a delicious, you know, dish or something, and mama, my dear, can you make such and such for me? No. They taught you how to do all of that. Fend for yourself to be able to do that. Clean your own house. Nasty. Clean your own house. I don't wash no dishes. You need to know how to wash dishes. Good. Because everybody don't wash dishes good. Don't use hot water to clean glasses and do all of that stuff. Don't know you don't put pots in first and wash glasses after. Don't know how to wash clothes and don't know how to put the... Y'all not hearing me here. You better learn some things for yourself. Listen. It's important to recognize and realize that God's response to us is, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. Listen at this, my brothers and sisters. The response of God is threefold. First, it is the welcome of God. Because God invites us to pray, But then he tells you, I will answer you. Now, isn't it wonderful to know that God welcomes your prayer and he tells you, listen, call me, I'll answer. Yes. Now, you know why we don't call some folk? Because they never answer their phone. Or return the calls. They never say, you know, well, listen, I got your call. See, when my mama calls me sometime and she don't leave me, I say, Mama, I have voicemail for you to leave me a message. I noticed you didn't leave a message. Why didn't you leave a message? She said, well, I expected you would see that I called and call me back. I said, well, Mother, you know, if it was been a busy day and I didn't scroll through my record of calls that I missed and see that you, I would miss you altogether. And if it was important, you would seem like you would leave me a message. You know I'll call you back. Well, I'm still working on her to leave the message part, you know, because she just has where's she mama? So, amen. That's all I'm going to say about that. But God says, you call me and I'm going to answer you. But now listen at this. David says that he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, he won't even hear me. For sure he won't return my call because he won't even pick up the phone. Now, obviously, this is talking about being in a right relationship with God. See, when I'm in a right relationship with God, there'll not be nothing I can't call him up and tell him about. There'll not be anything I can't ask him for if I'm in a right relationship, because I know what his answer already is. So when I pray according to his will, which is his word, then I have the assurance that he's going to say yes. Now, do you know it's a whole lot easier to ask God knowing that he's going to say yes? See, the saints that don't know the word go to him saying, Lord, if it's your will, do such and such and such a thing. Well, I mean, that's okay and that's permissible, but wouldn't it be much better to have the assurance of knowing his will? Calling God by the authority of his word and saying, God, you promised me. You told me that I could ask for what I would according to your word. And with faith, believe and doubt nothing, and it would be done. I'm calling on you. I'm trying you. I'm making known my request. And see, when God hears you talk like that, God said, oh, that boy sounds like me. My daughter sounds like me. Why? Because we are operating according to the authority of God's word. We have God's spirit, and God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when we go to God, we call him up with confidence. Father, I'm calling you. I have need of this job. And I'm believing as I put this application in that you're going to give me uncommon favor, that you bless me with the qualities and you bless me with the requirements. And so therefore, because I have need of this job, because you know I pay my tithes, I give my offerings, I am faithful to my church and to your work, I expect you to open these doors. And I'm just waiting on them to call me back in for my interview and tell me I got the job. In Jesus' name. Amen. You calling them up, listen, when you talk to God, because actually this is so important, and I'm going to be bringing this to a close, but I want you to see this, because one of the things we missed about this text is that not only in this welcome does God say to us, he will answer us. We don't have to fear that God is too busy, too important, like so many important people are, that they won't take our calls. With the advent of ID, you know, they know who it is that's calling. Now you can get numbers blocked that don't show their numbers. So you can't say, well, I'm going to block my number so they don't know I'm calling. So it won't even ring their phone and say, the number you have called has blocked unidentified numbers. So if you want this call to go through, unblock your number.